Take your Bibles. Go with me to Luke's Gospel. I'm going to preach on what the Spirit of God spoke about. I'm going to talk some more about the perseverance of Christ. The Bible says that He was faithful. Yeah. Moses was faithful in the house as a servant. Amen. Jesus was faithful as the Son. Glory to God. I hope you've obeyed the Lord this morning. I trust Him and His direction today. I thank Him for His presence and refreshing. If Jesus tarries, we got some challenging days ahead for us. It really doesn't matter. It does matter. Which one comes to the White House? There's going to be a major conflict in this nation. If a liberal goes to the White House, the church is going to have to stand up. Because you can look out, the onslaught's coming against us, and we're going to have to stand. If a Christian goes to the White House, they're going to pull out the stops. And they're going to fight. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to fight. I ain't backing down in this race. I'm going to preach it. And I don't intend to slack up in anything I preach. I don't intend to let up. In every door God opens, I intend to preach. Hallelujah. We've got to preach, church. We've got to tell folks. There ain't but one way to the city. There ain't but one way to glory. And it's by Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of the church world that has been ashamed of Christ. That I'm ashamed of. I'm ashamed of compromise. Cowardice. But I'm not ashamed of Christ. The verse of Scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. I'm going to read this passage, verse, make a few comments, and then we're going to go to Luke chapter 13. But let me read this text. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Would you say amen to God's word? Amen. You may be seated. I explained the passage last week or so when I preached on this. I preached some more about it Wednesday night. I wanted to just mention a few things from the passage itself in the context. The time had come when Christ, because He's perfected humanity on the Mount of Transfiguration, He was glorified. And by all rights, the just act of God would have been to carry Him to glory right there. He did not deserve the cross. He did not deserve the blasphemy, the abuse, the mistreatment, the misunderstandings. This man should not be forsaken because he has not forsaken God. This man should not be a man judged as a criminal, for who is more righteous in the earth than this man? And yet the world would take Him and crucify Him, a crucifixion of which He was not worthy. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And for He was made a curse for us, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. But He did not go into glory. He descended from the mountain and set His face determined to go to Jerusalem. Wednesday night I shared with you, He knew where He was going and what He was facing. He knew there He would face the hostility of the crowd. He knew there He would face their defiance and rejection. And He knew He was going to a city upon which the judgment of God had already been pronounced. And He would prophesy in His final days that a time would come in that city And it would take place some 32 or so years later. A little bit more than that, but around that time it would take place about 42 or so years later after the prophecy. It would take place. The Jerusalem will be destroyed. The temple will be dismantled and not one stone will be left upon another. It will come to pass. And Jesus knew the judgment was coming. And you and I have got to set our face in this hour. Yes. Judgment is coming to our nation. Amen. God may delay it for a while. We may find some mercy. And as Ezra said, a peg in the holy place and a little space of grace that God may give us. But I can tell you somewhere, all of the innocent blood that's been shed in this nation will have to be paid for. I will tell you this, either there must be a national repentance whereby God can legitimately place our sins upon His Son Jesus Christ, or He must judge us for our sin. If there is no repentance, and if He cannot and will not allow God to place your sins upon His Son, then you will have to pay your own price for your sins, and all the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God, it will come. But we're facing the desolation, but we're going to preach it anyway. We're facing the hostility, but we're going to love anyway. We are facing defiance and rebellion and stiff-necked hearts, and we are facing uncircumcised hearts, but we will preach it anyway, for out of the desolation God is going to bring a remnant of people, a remnant that will be saved according to the grace of God Almighty. And He persevered to the cross when His own disciples are telling Him, no, this is not for you. When the crowd around Him wants Him to take an exit, He says, no, I'm going to Jerusalem. I shared with you some things in the passage itself. I'm just not going to go back to them that talks about that hinders us from getting there. Things that did not hinder Jesus Christ. He did not allow them to hinder Him. But He went on towards Jerusalem. I want to look at other couple of passages in the Gospel of Luke. If you will go forward to chapter 13. And I want to talk about some other things that He endured and some lessons that we can learn, that we must not allow these things to hinder us in our pursuit of Christ and in our pursuit of the purpose and cause that God has given us in this world. I want to do what the Spirit said this morning. I want to be faithful. How about you? I'm not interested in turning away from God. I want to be faithful. He is our only salvation. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. And verse 22, the Bible said, and He went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now He'll get there when He's ready to get there. And I'm going to tell you right now, the judgment will come when God's ready to bring it. It isn't going to come when I say it comes. It isn't going to come when I want it or don't want it to come. It's going to come when God is ready. But as we're making the journey, we need to preach and we need to teach. Amen. As we're headed towards that end that God has determined for us, at the end that He's determined for our nation, then you and I must be faithful to preach and to teach the word of God, because we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. This world is headed somewhere, and it's not where they think they're going. But I'm telling you, God's got a path, and if you're in it, we've got a destiny. We're headed for somewhere. We are headed for glory. Oh, praise the Lord. And I am waiting the day when the kingdom of God shall come to this earth in its full visibility. I want you to notice same things from the verses that follow, some things we can learn. Verse 23, the Bible says, then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them. Here's a question that comes up. I think, I don't know who it comes from. The Scripture does not tell us what it is that prompted it, prompted the question. Would only be conjecture on our part, but it does not hurt us to possibly think what could have prompted such a question. And I might ask that first of all, Jesus, as He preached and taught the Word of God, the crowd around Him was constantly changing. Amen. He had an inner core. He had 12 apostles, and he had faithful disciples that stayed with him all the time. There was a crowd of men and women that hung with him. But outside of that core, there was a constant crowd, change of the crowd. Because why? Well, number one, newcomers are constantly being attracted to this man simply because of the spectacle that he presents. I mean, let's face it. You see a man raising the dead, opening blinded eyes, and the lame are walking, and lepers are cleansed, and deaf ears are open, and demons are being cast out. If that ain't enough to get your attention, I mean, if that don't spark some curiosity in you, you're dead. I mean, even a liberal will go see that. Even an atheist will go see that once in a while. It's what, for curiosity's sake, they'll come around just to see. It was enough to bring the religious crowd, the Pharisees. They came, they saw it. The scribes came and saw it. There were folks all the time. But every time that crowd would come, he'd preach to them, and then he'd come down and tell them. In Luke 14, we get a situation of it. In the very next chapter, if you'll note it just for a moment, in verse 25 of Luke 14, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus didn't mince words with everybody. He didn't get caught up in the splendor and the euphoria of the crowd. When the crowd came and gathered around as spectators, he let them know, if you're going to be in my circle, if you're going to hang with me, then you got to love me above your mama and your papa and your sister and your brother and your wife. I got to be the first love. You're going to have to take your cross up and follow after me. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life. And if you're following me, then you better be ready to die for my cause and for my name.
Yes, sir.
Now that kind of preaching will thin out a crowd. That's the kind of preaching we don't like. It's the kind of preaching that names things. It's the kind of preaching that puts it down and say, look, it's in the game. It's the kind of preaching that says, there's some things you got to get rid of. There's some things you got to lay down. This isn't some kind of just social activity. We're all on a journey here. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to a destiny that God has determined for us. And it isn't going to be a bed of roses. Oh, they may come and praise you, but I'll tell you, this world will nail you to a cross. We thought years ago it could never happen in America. It's coming to the place in America that they will be willing to execute a man simply because he will not support the wickedness of this age and the perversion of this hour. I'm telling you, the liberal will laugh all the way to your funeral service.
Yes, he will. Come on.
You're right, brother. Amen.
A crowd has no morals. They've got nothing to anchor them. They've got no scruples. Jesus understood that. He let him know, if you're in this thing, you got to get in it for keeps.
Amen.
And so, as he's headed, maybe that's it. Maybe this guy recognized it and saw, man, this guy, he weeds him out like crazy. If he wanted to, all he'd have to do is just change a little bit of his agenda. And they'd make him king. That's what they wanted to do. Go back to John's Gospel, chapter 6. And the Bible said, he fed them, you know, fed the 5,000. And the Bible said they were to come and made him king. You know what he did? He went on to the other side and said, don't labor for the meat that perishes, but labor for that which is under life everlasting. Except the man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in me or in him. I'm here to tell you, and the Bible said from that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Don't get dismayed when we have a bunch of folks that come as an onlooker, where the Lord gets to moving in his house and the Spirit of God gets to move. There's going to be folks that are going to come just to see what's going on. But don't be dismayed that when you get to preaching down the glory road and the presence of God and the holiness of the word and the righteous demands of God, you're going to separate out the crowd. Preachers don't want to do that because they'd rather have the praise. But you can't keep the power if you don't keep the righteousness. You can't keep the glory if you don't live by the grace of God.
Amen. Yeah, brother.
We watched it in Pentecostalism. When men started out and the power of God was upon them, the Oral Roberts, the T.L. Lowrys, we watched it. But when they left the path of righteousness and began to cater to the crowd, today, where's the miracles? Today, where's the glory? Today, where's the masses that are coming? It's not happening. They can go on TV and try to make it happen. You can believe make anything happen on TV. You know, then get up there and tell you and testify this and that. And we saw this and that. I'm going to tell you that's one thing just to tell about it. It's another thing to watch it happen in person. I'm just telling you something. Maybe that's what prompted this man's question. Maybe as such he recognizes what's going on and says, are there few that be saved? But at the same time, I want to tell you something this morning that it really is a question that should not concern us. It really is the wrong kind of a question that really does not even need to be asked. And that's one of the first problems that we have. We're trying to seek answers to things that are unimportant. We're trying to get caught up in asking questions that really, even if you get an answer, what value is it going to be to you? I mean, if God tells you, well, it's going to be this, or it's going to be that. Well, what is the real value of it that it's going to be probably? If God tells you there's only going to be a few saved, then I can tell you what it's going to do to you. It's either going to make you depressed because there will, and he's going to tell you there's a few, you're going to get depressed. I don't know if I can make it. Or you're going to get puffed up. Well, I'm in the few. Look at what I'm doing. Go, I'm better than that one. It's not the question sometimes we need to ask. And Jesus answered him. He didn't tell him so much few or many. He said, strive to enter in of the straight gate. For straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. Many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And I'm gonna come to that in a moment to many, but what I want to emphasize to you is this is exactly what the devil likes us to do. I've seen many of folks sidetracked because they got their mind on side issues that were really of no importance. That even if they got an answer, it didn't have one bearing one way or another on whether or not they would make it to glory. The chief question should not be so much how many are going to be saved, but will I be saved? That's the more important question. Not so much how many out of this church is going, but am I going to be there? Or how many was there, but was I there? Well, how many praised the Lord? Did you praise the Lord? That's the more question. Or how many was at the prayer meeting? Was you at the prayer meeting? That's the greater question needs to be asked. Don't concern yourself sometimes with those that are falling by the wayside. Strive to enter in. We get our mind off the striving and get our mind on things that don't need to be get on. And we got to keep our face. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to that holy city of God.
Amen.
That word strive is the same word translated fight in 1 Timothy when he said fight the good fight of faith. Fight, contend. It's from the word that we get our word agonize. How much agonizing are you putting in to your Christian experience? How much effort are you putting into following Christ? By the words, I really ain't got time. Then you're lost. You're gonna miss out. I'm here to tell you right now. By the words, I ain't fighting as hard as I should be fighting. Then you're losing. You may not be out yet, but you're on the way. Because if you don't put every ounce of energy you got into it, I'm here to tell you, you're going to fall in this thing. Christianity is not a casual religion. God is not a God you can serve on a casual basis. You can't follow him in some manner that is half-heartedly. He will not have it. Jesus had to set his face to get to Calvary. Jesus had to set his face to get to Calvary. And am I any greater than the Lord himself to think that I'm going to have a bed of ease and I'm going to have a smooth road? I'm going to have storms and trials. But if I'll pick up the cross and if I'll follow him, I will arrive. I will arrive at the same destiny as my Lord. It is a true saying, if we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him.
Hallelujah.
It's disturbing. It's upsetting. When you see people that you know they're not giving 100%.
Right.
You know they're not digging.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm, the zeal, the fervor, the passion is absent.
Yeah.
It's just a routine. My job as a pastor is to stir you up.
Amen.
I don't want you to be a bench warmer. I don't want you to just come, pay your tithes, and do your little duty. I want everybody in this church on fire for God.
Amen.
Because not because I'm looking for some aggrandizement, not because I'm looking for some pat on the back. No, it ain't something that's going to benefit me. What I'm looking for is you and I to make it. And I'm telling you, half-heartedness will not win the day. A double-minded man will not make it. Less than 4% will not get it. God is not going to save you on a 90% commitment. God ain't going to save you on a 50% whim. You got to give him all. You got to love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You've got to give him every bit. You must exhaust yourself for the cause of God. I fear we have heard it until we become so callous to it that it doesn't move us, it doesn't rock us, it doesn't stir us. And I'm going to tell you, when the Antichrist comes, you'll be here. That's tough, Brother Woods. It's tough. But that's where we're at. Do we think we can tiptoe in some back door to glory? In those old sheepfolds, when the shepherd would lay down, they made a fold in the wilderness, a rock wall. There was but one door. There was but one way in and one way out. And the shepherd was the door. He laid himself in. Can I tell you that if you come in this thing by Jesus and leave, you're going to leave out by Jesus as well. There ain't no other way. There is no back door. In Christianity, you don't slip in the back somewhere. You don't get in on a contingency. You don't get in on some kind of small print that was left in the contract. You don't get in on some kind of a lawyer's error or some scribal error or some typographical error. You gotta know him. You gotta know him. You gotta know him. Hallelujah.
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 I don't think it's that deep, Brother Woods. I'm gonna prove it to you in just a moment. Instead of getting distracted by asking all these other peripheral questions, why don't you just get down to the one that counts?
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you?
There it is.
Where's your heart?
Right.
Mister, you're worried about all those folks over there.
Yeah.
You're worried about whether the Baptists are going to make it.
Yeah.
You're worried about whether the Presbyterians are going to make it. You're worried about whether the Pentecostals are the only one. Well, and you just struggle. Well, I'm just struggling. I just don't see how all these folks can be wrong. I mean, I don't think we're the only ones, and this and that. And you just struggle whether this one's going to make it. Well, Brother Woods, well, you preach it, not many folks are going to make it. Well, you just believe what you want to, but I'm telling you, it's that kind of a heart and that kind of attitude that'll sidetrack you and get you in the wrong thing. You don't need to so much be worried about whether Baptist Joe's going to make it or Presbyterian John's going to make it. You need to worry about whether you're going to make it. The first thing you need to concern yourself is, are you striving? Glory to God. What a shame to find out that you miss out and old Baptist Joe made it. What a shame to find you miss out and Pentecostal Mary made it. I'm going to tell you, whether they make it or not will be between them and God. But I've got to go. I've got to go. I got to get there. I've got to arrive. I got to make sure that I come to the glory gate of God. Hallelujah. And I want to help you.
Man.
Now let's read it.
Hallelujah.
But we're going to read it and we're not going to stop at the end of verse 24 as we sometimes do. Because there's no stop. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door.
Right.
And you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now you get that picture, and I'll come back to it. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Let's get the picture. A couple of things I want to emphasize out of it. Number one, he says this. He said, many shall seek to enter in, but they shall not be able. When? When is it? They shall not be able. Whenever God has risen up, when the Master has risen up and shut the door. I'm just going to tell you, first of all, there comes a time in everybody's life that God shuts the door. You've heard it message after message. You've went to church service after church service. You know the songs by heart. Oh, but I'm telling you, you just won't surrender. You won't dig in and let God have His way. I'm going to tell you, there's grace for a while. You come back to service and you feel the tug of the Holy Ghost. You go away 6 months and come back and you feel the tug of the Holy Ghost. I'm just here to tell you, there'll come a day when there'll be no more tug. There'll come a day when there'll be no more pull. There'll come a day when you begin to take the initiative. You won't hear anything from him. He shut the door. But now it'll be your initiative to run and knock. Oh, can I come in? Can I come in? No. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. Oh, but you haven't preached in our streets, in our cities. You've eaten and drank. I mean, I'm familiar with you.
Right. Come on.
Yeah. Familiarity is not salvation.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You can know amazing grace, and it'll echo in your mind while the flames of hell are tormenting you. You can have heard Pentecostal message after gospel message after Pentecostal after holiness message, message after message. You can hear it all, and it will be nothing more than something to haunt you while you're in the torments and the flames of fire. I'm here to tell you, you can't claim to know him on the basis that you are familiar with his ways. You're familiar with his methods. You're familiar with his message. You know about him some things. You can tell folks, oh yes, I know Jesus, but you've never got in the inner circle. You were part of the crowd that melted away. You were on the outside, and when this going got too tough, you backed away from it. When he said take up the cross, you said that's too much, I can't do it. When he said lay down your sin, you said I can't do it yet, I'm not ready. And the day came and he shut the door, and you left on the outside.
That's right, brother. Amen.
That is going to happen.
Yes.
He said, there's going to be a whole pile of folks, and I'm going to paraphrase and put it in kind of our familiar speech, that's going to know about my message. They will have seen my miracles. They heard the preacher preach about me. They saw her sing the songs.
Right.
They rubbed shoulders with the people of God. And they're going to come and say, let us in. Because they think on the basis of their familiarity. On the basis that they paid their tithes once in a while. On the basis that they would go to service once in a while. On the basis that they never fought against the church. And they never did anything that was harmful or utterly outright terrible against it. I mean, they tried to show respect to the preacher. And they showed respect to those folks and never spoke bad. Matter of fact, they even defended those holy rollers down there a time or two. When other folks are bad-mouthing, they defended them because they know they were good people. They're good people, but you see, you've got yourself interested in a question somewhere. I'm telling you, I've sat down with number of people. You can go out there in that world. I can get 100 sinners easy that would tell me and agree with me that men ought to go to a men's bathroom and women ought to go to a women's bathroom. I can get thousands of them out there. They never darken a church door, but they tell you homosexuality's out. It's wrong. It's against God. They tell you lying is wrong. But I'm telling you, familiarity will not save you. You got to know him. You got to get in the inner circle. You got to love him. You got to get in where God is at.
Amen. Amen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's it.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord! Lord! Twice emphasizing the plea and the agony of their heart. Let us in! You only call Him Lord because you're familiar with the title. You've not been willing to bow to His will. Can I tell you what's going to happen? Exactly what Lazarus or what the rich man found out. Now, I believe this based on this passage. This part of it's not a parable. He gives us real names. He said, in that day, there's going to be weeping and grinding, gnashing of the teeth, gnawing and pain. Weeping, John. Not a few crocodile tears. I'm talking about bawling your insides out. I'm talking about screaming to the tops of your lungs. I'm talking about shaking on the inside and knowing that now you're in a place there's no reprieve. Now you're in a place there's no second chance. You can talk all you want to about second chance. That's now. If you don't take it, you're out. Right. When that door is shut, there's no second chance. Right. When He shuts that door, you're on the outside. Right. And I'm telling you what you're going to be able to do in your place called hell. You're going to be able to look off in the distance and you're going to look over there at that Brother Cottle that you thought was a fruitcake and you thought he just got too excited and you thought he just went too far. And you don't really have to show that much zeal for Jesus Christ. Well, we all aren't like Brother Cottle. Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, when you're sitting there and you're grinding your teeth and you're weeping and you're looking over yonder and there is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Oh, there's those forefathers. There's those old holy rollers that folks reject them. That's who it is. That's those men of faith that lived in tents. That's those men that had it tough. That's those men that believed when nobody else would believe. That's those men that had a zeal for God when nobody else would have a zeal for God. When Lot was pitching his tent towards Sodom, this man is following God, Jehovah Almighty. When the world is looking for their godly, ungodly ways, he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm telling you, they rejected him, but he found it in. And you look over there and you see that crazy preacher shouting and dancing in the glorious presence of God. Yes. And you'd give anything to have a service again where you could feel the touch of God. You'd climb the pews, you'd climb the walls, you'd swing from the chandeliers. I'm telling you, you'd do anything possible that could be done. Oh, but not now. I'm familiar. I know enough about it. No, you don't. You're lost. You're on the outside. You're not striving. That's the key. That man was not striving. Oh, and they're going to come a day. They're going to look. All the screams that will come from them. All the grinding of the teeth and the anger and the frustration that will come when they look and see the people that they really disdained, the people that they thought were kind of far out. They're sitting in the kingdom of God. They're sitting in the kingdom of God. And you're out. You're on the outside. I'm going to tell you that's going to happen. And then he looked at that Jewish crowd and said, they're coming from the east and they're coming from the west. Ah, glory to the Lamb of God. That poor man in that other nation, you look down on him because you're a rich America, but now he's wealthy beyond compare and you've lost it all. He has got more wealth than you can ever imagine. He has come from the four corners of the earth and is rejoicing now in the presence of God Almighty. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's either real or it's not. Jesus is right or he's not.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I didn't say strive. He said it. Agonize, contend, fight to enter in at the straight gate. Now let me just hang with me a minute. He wasn't talking about the then will happen. He was talking about the now. You'll never enter into the gates of Pearl until you have passed through the straight gate here.
Yes, sir. Come on, man.
Right.
He said, man, don't be worrying about whether there's few that be saved.
Yeah.
You just make sure you've gotten in the door.
That's right.
Because the day's coming, I'm going to close
it. Go ahead.
You just make sure you've entered in the gate. Glory to the Lamb of God. And it's a straight gate. And that word straight means to be hemmed in. It means to be pressed in. Oh, like you're squeezed in. I remember years ago, my daddy took me up to our family to Chattanooga, Tennessee. A place you could get up there and supposedly see seven states. You've been there. Used to live over there, Brother Cottle. Seven states. And they had a place up there. I think they called it Rock City. And they had something called a fat man squeeze.
Yeah.
You remember that, don't you? Yeah. And they had a fat man squeeze. And you got up to that thing, and it was kind of wide, a little bit at the bottom. But you know what? As it went up, it just narrowed. And you had to squeeze through. Matter of fact, if you was a big person, you wasn't going to get through it. That's just the way. But I can kind of remember a little picture in my mind. You know, you're kind of doing this number to get through. I'm going to tell you something right now. The world has made Jesus a broad gate. They've made that gate so wide that anything can come in at any way they want to come in. They made that gate broad, but I'm going to tell you, that's not the gate. No, sir. That gate is as straight as it's ever been. That gate is still saying, strive to enter in. That gate is still saying that I'm telling you, unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow me, unless you're willing to forsake all that you have, you cannot be disciple. Unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you're willing to live my life, unless you're willing to lose your possessions, unless you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you cannot get in the door.
Right, amen.
Yes, sir.
Right.
What hinders us are the questions, and what hinders us is the concepts that we think just because we're familiar with Jesus, we're okay.
Come on now. That's good, brother.
I still use it. It's not bad to use it. As long as we understand something. The word conservative and Christian are not equal.
No.
And they don't mean the same thing.
No. That's right.
There are going to be a lot of conservative people in hell.
Right. Amen.
There are going to be a lot of folks who disagree with homosexuality in hell.
Right.
There are going to be a lot of folks that thought liars were despicable people in hell.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There are going to be a lot of folks that think if you cheat on your wife, you ain't worth 2 cents. Hell will be full of them.
Right.
Hell will be full of people who can quote scripture. Hell will be full of people who have sat on church benches.
Right.
Hell's going to be full of people who are familiar with the gospel message. I'm telling you, it's going to be full of it. Yes, sir. It's somewhere. This is where it's coming down to. Jesus didn't get to that cross by taking an easy road. He didn't get to that cross by simply just idling along. He had to strive. He had to push. I'm telling you, he is constantly having to remind the crowd, this is who I am and this is where I'm going. I'm telling you, you might like the bread and the fish, but there's more to this thing than bread and fish. This is a life you've got to live. Oh, help me God. Help me God. Help me God. I would. I could put it in our hearts this morning. We toy with our salvation. We play around with it like somewhere. I'll fix it later. I'll get it down the road. And the key is soon to come and shut the door.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to
God. Your spiritual life is ebbing from you. You're distracted by the things of the world. You know you're getting pulled away. You know there's things. You're not the close to God as you need to be. You're not striving. You don't enjoy prayer. You don't get in the worship. You don't feel anything when others feel it anymore. And you're just numb and dead. And that so much is not what concerns me as much as you do nothing about it. You make no move to change it. It doesn't disturb you. It doesn't bother you. You're getting more callous day after day after day. And I'm telling you, you'll cry out, Lord, Lord, I heard Brother Woods. I was in the church and the door's going to be shut.
Amen. Yes, it is.
That's it.
Yes,
I love my shot. Help us, God.
He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. My people, my word comes to you. It pricks your heart. It stirs you. I say, do not resist me, but come to me. I love you. Now the door is open. Strive, 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 strive. Agonize, contend, make every effort. Humble yourself. Make certain you're inside the door. Make certain you know me and your life is intimate with me. Make sure the fire burns in your heart today. For I, the Lord, am coming, and this door will soon be shut, saith God.
Hallelujah.
God help me. Hota makete heto mohosha mahaya. Hina na na mama na na miki rama mama mosoto rama hon rama. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. What do you want? Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Oh, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Oh, because his compassions fail not. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Come on, church. Some of you should have done beat a path to this altar. Some of you should have done beat a path. You should have done crawled here. You should have done got on your hands and knees and thank God for mercy. You should have said, God Almighty, have mercy. God Almighty, I've been slack. I've been slack. I've been slack. I haven't pressed in to know you. Do I really know you? Do I really know you? Do I really know you? Do I really know you?